Good afternoon. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and I'm on my program called A Progressive Life, and we're going to go over to the phones here if I can get my thing working here. And there is Dr. Feynman. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Ready to go.
All right. Yeah, you've been ready to go for a little while, I notice. You called in early today.
About 12:09, I think it was.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, and our news went a little longer than normal. And
yeah, well, that's the way the things go. No big deal.
I still have
42 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you listened to the end of that. They were talking about that householder thing, and I did mention it on my little clip that I put out the day before each of one of our shows to tell people what we're going to talk about. So we'll talk about that a little later. It's no big thing. I have a direct contact with that problem because when I was running for office, my opponent received, I think, around $7,000 from Mr. Householder to help her out. And then she ran against a friend of mine this past time and got more money from Mr. Householder. And Tracy, that's her name, Tracy was for Householder, stayed with him through the first vote, but the second vote she did finally say, no, he needs to go. So anyway, maybe we'll have time to talk about it. It's not a terribly important story nationally, but it is very important here in the state of Ohio.
And what's important in Columbus is what's important, right?
That's what's important to us, yeah, around here, yeah. And in your state, where is the capital in your state? Is it Tallahassee?
Tallahassee.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
This is almost not in the state of Florida.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty far north, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
It's a southern town.
Way up by the panhandle, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yes, yeah.
I love Florida in April. And only for a week.
Well, actually, in the winter, it's nice. It's like spring in the winter.
Yeah.
You know, it's very nice. It's not too hot usually in the winter months, but it gets hot now. It is. I still walk every day, but it's really hot, you know.
Is it? Well, what do you do when you get so hot when you're walking along?
I think about things cold like ice cream.
I was thinking maybe you take a spray bottle and spray yourself or one of those mobile fans and fan yourself. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy walking. I like seeing the birds, the ducks, and everything else, and the dogs and the cats, you know, nature out there. It's really nice. Yeah.
That's what, well, I walk just about every day, and I like that, too. I have a puppy dog. I have several puppy dogs that I say, and I know them by name, and I say hi to them every day.
But you don't have your own puppy dog now, huh?
No, we don't have my own puppy dog. We're still looking. I think we're going to go ahead and get one fairly soon.
Breed? What kind?
Mutt. You know, little.
Oh, mutt. Okay. But small dog, right?
Small, fuzzy, female mutt. That's what we're looking for. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. I want to talk about this Republican stonewalling of the vote yesterday.
Yeah, it's disgraceful. It really is.
I
even allowed discussion on it. You know, but it's clear that even if it had discussion, they would never get 60 votes. And without Kirsten Sinema and Joe Manchin willing to go along to change the filibuster to a talking filibuster or to 55, nothing's going to happen anyway. So it's unfortunate. Republicans are going to have the edge on the gerrymandering for the next decade, and they do control more state legislatures, and it's going to be really tough for Democrats.
Well, I'm hoping, and I'm hearing all these little cracks in the wall. I'm hoping that eventually the public desire for good government will come along. I am so angry at my Republican friends who support non-government. I mean, there is no governing amongst Republicans. And anybody who tells me there is, I will tell you to your face, you're a fool. Because there is no governing going on. It's just stonewalling. And why have a government if all you're going to do is say we're not going to let anybody do anything?
No, I agree with you, but Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy are only concerned about keeping power and favoring the wealthy. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that is exactly what it comes down to. And I have so many friends here in Ohio that are not rich people. I have a lot of friends here in Marion. I know don't make a lot of money, and yet they still continue to vote to put into office these people that don't want to do anything. And I don't like I don't like just giveaways. I think the stuff that we're doing right now is not giveaways. It's helping America pull itself up, and we were in pretty bad shape.
But the problem is the race issue. The critical race theory is has been made up to be a threat to white kids. They're going to feel guilty. It's the biggest BS I've ever heard. It's not a question of having guilt about it. Obviously, a white kid can't be blamed for what happened. I can't be blamed. You can't be. But why shouldn't we learn about the past, about Native Americans, about Asian Americans, about African Americans, about Hispanic Americans, and realize that we have to work better at it to make sure the horrible things of the past are not repeated?
You can't get better if you close your eyes and say, I don't believe any of that stuff.
Yes, they're promoting propaganda and scaring people. Fear is what they do to keep the middle class or the working class voting for them, even though they don't care about the middle or the working class. They really don't.
And yet a lot of my working class friends say, try to imply how tough they are and how strong they are, and they believe in freedom. Well, they aren't believing in freedom. They're just believing in doing nothing.
Well, because they're afraid of people who are different from them. That's what it comes down to, and that's exactly what they're appealing to the Republicans. They're George Wallace and Strom Thurmond on steroids.
Yeah. Well, now, I don't know. I got so angry last night while I was talking or thinking about the show today. I told my wife I may get really in trouble, but I'm really going to try not to be as obnoxious as I thought I was going to be. But wake up! It just drives me nuts how these my Republican friends here in town are being used, and they don't.
Of course,
even
they're being used, and they don't get it.
And they don't see it.
They don't get it. I want to point out, though, like if you were thinking of using foul language, even though you had to realize the Supreme Court just today backed a cheerleader who used the F-bomb, yep. And, you know, 8-1 in a Supreme Court case that it's freedom of speech when she did that off, you know, I think on Snapchat, and was suspended by the high school, and they say, you know, that's freedom of speech. So actually, that case helps you.
Well, my father and I used to have that argument all the time. And my father was, you know, he based his premise on it is bad decorum to use four-letter words.
Yeah, it is, I certainly do, but we all do it right. At some point.
And I always said to Dad, they're only four letters put together in a certain way. They have no meaning.
Yeah.
Except for as you put the four letters together, they sound like they mean something.
Yes.
But, you know, then we get into the argument about the N-word and how that hurts people. And, you know, I have a lot of African-American friends. I don't think the N-word hurts them. It just pisses them off. And excuse the expression, but it makes them angry that somebody has that little respect for them.
Well, it's just like Jews. It's the four letters starting with K that also are a derogatory term, or D, four letters for Italians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or M for four letters Irish, you know, and other. So there are a lot of four-letter words that are derogatory and certainly alienate people. Yeah.
If you use those words, you're just ignorant. You're nothing even other than that. You're just an ignorant slob.
Well, a lot of the Republican senators clearly are ignorant.
Yes, well,
also House members. I just can't believe some of these people. Imagine John Kennedy of Louisiana, not related to John F. Kennedy.
Yep.
And he has an Oxford degree, and he's a total moron the way he acts and the way he speaks and all that. And the same with others, you know, including, I have to say, Jim Jordan, you know, which I know I heard you were talking about,
yeah,
the two of you. Jim Jordan is really very ignorant, and he's out to divide. He's not out to promote, like, the Problem Solvers Caucus on MSNBC this morning. The Republicans and the Democrats, there's a Problem Solvers Caucus in the House trying to come up with an infrastructure bill. And there are Republicans and Democrats who are trying to work on this. But Jim Jordan would rather just go after everybody and condemn everybody and use bad language, not necessarily foul language, but he's just such a rude, crude individual.
I think if you look it up, you will find that he has been involved in as a critical leader in zero bills.
That's not uncommon of the people that throw bombs, as you say, you know. He's more like, I don't want to say he's a domestic terrorist, but in his language he is, but he's not, I'm not saying he actually is promoting that, although he did, I think, have some guilt involved with January 6th, and that needs to be investigated.
Yeah, I think it needs to as well. I think that Speaker Pelosi has done is the right thing. Okay, if the Republicans aren't going to get aboard, we're going to do it ourselves, and we're going to say what we actually find out. Now, you know that the Republicans are going to say, oh, that's all partisan and that's all lies.
Yeah.
But let's put it out there. There are things, I'm sure, that are out there that can be proven. I think
she's always being trashed by the other side, making fun of how she looks. Like, she may have had plastic surgery. So what? A lot of people do. But she's 81 years old, and she looks great. And she's got a brain.
Yeah. Yesterday, when I was telling my wife, I think I'm going to get in trouble tomorrow, I said, we need to get to the point where we take our Republican friends who don't want to do anything and grind them into sawdust.
Oh, my God. Or put them on a new Titanic.
Yeah, but I really I have so many friends that are Republican, and I really like all my friends, so I don't really want to do that to
them. But I joked, I think even with you, about the fact that our two senators in the state, in Florida, Rubio and Scott, and the governor DeSantis, there's a joke, put them on the Titanic, it can only save one. I think I've already spoken about that to you, and I would probably save Rubio, but he's still tolerable, but you know, but really, I can only say don't save anyone.
Well, I know where we can get a submarine with torpedoes. What do you think the chances of... Oh, now, I've forgotten her name. The lady who is the sheriff down there is running against Rubio.
Yes, the Congresswoman Demings, Demings, yes. Former sheriff, but she's now a congresswoman. I think she's dynamite. She's wonderful,
yeah. Yeah, but does she have any chance?
Absolutely, I think she does. She's a very tough debater. She was a police chief and a sheriff. And I think Rubio is not terribly bright. I think he's been very lucky. And I think a lot of it is because he's Cuban. So I think that Miami really gave him a big boost each time he ran. But I don't think he's very bright, you know.
Okay.
Well, I think there's a good chance to defeat him. Not a guarantee, of course, but I think there's a good chance.
Well, we need that to be done. So take care of that, all right?
But also the governor, you know, we have the Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried, and also Charlie Crist, the congressman who was once governor as a Republican, became an independent, is now a Democrat. So he would like to come back to the governorship. He was there from 2007 to 2011. The only thing is that he's been around such a long time, and he's lost the race against Rubio. So, you know, and Nikki Fried's very young and only has been in one position as Agriculture Commissioner. So I think it's going to be possibly more difficult to defeat DeSantis than it will to defeat Rubio. But this state is very hard to figure out because, like Ohio, it's becoming more red, you know?
Yeah. Well, you've got a lot of old folks, and old folks don't like change.
Well, I like change, and I'm an old folk.
I do too, but there are a lot of
I've never been a typical person at any age.
Yeah, well, and it's no fun if you are typical anyway.
Yes.
I gave that up a long time ago. My son and I had an interesting talk.
The son in Ohio?
Yeah. My eldest son. And he's a devout liber. And we were talking about these new flags. Well, they're not so new anymore. They've probably been out 5 years, maybe more longer than that. They're the American flag in black and white, and they either have a blue line across the middle or a red line across the middle. And have you seen those flags?
No, actually, I haven't. No.
Okay. The blue line indicates that the blue line, you know, the...
Oh, you're a Democrat, and the red is Republican, right?
No, the blue line means that you support our law enforcement people.
Oh,
the
okay,
red line
okay, yeah.
Indicates that you support our fire people. Now, my son said to me that the word is out now, that the one with the blue line across the middle. Now, mind you, these are black and white flags with the color only in the middle stripe, okay? Which is probably against the flag code that yes. they use that. But my son said that that's become known by a lot of his lib friends as the American swastika. And so apparently you wow. had not heard that.
No, I haven't either. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that would be horrible if we're doing that. But the Republican Party, since they are right now, they are in favor and support absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
All negativism, yes.
Why do people think they support our law enforcement officers?
Well, they don't support the law enforcement officers on Capitol Hill now. We know that.
Yeah,
they're
we know that.
Investigation.
Yeah.
And who was it? Andrew Clyde of Georgia was on an elevator with one of the officers who's been speaking up about
yeah,
it. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
And he tried to introduce himself, and he ignored him. Yeah. I mean, you know, the fact that he said he would say he's for law and order because he's a Republican, but he actually makes himself look worse than Marjorie Taylor Greene. Can you imagine that?
No.
Andrew Clyde, that's just Georgia. Oh, my God, the couple of their Congress people are just beyond belief. And Arizona, the same, you know. Well, it's really scary. These are Nazis, fascists, as far as I'm concerned, you know.
I think this year the Democrats are going to have to put on their big boy pants. And they're going to have to quit trying to be kind, trying to be fair, trying to be thoughtful, and they're just going to have to play the game the way the Republicans are and just kick ass and take numbers.
But the problem is with Kyrsten Sinema and also Joe Manchin, so wishy-washy, it's very, very hard to do that. That's the problem, you know, because they can't really get much done unless they all unite, and then it's a 50-50 tie. That's the problem.
I understand that, but I think the Democrats have to find a way to grind them up if they get in the way. I am just so
then they
angry.
Can become Republicans. That would be worse.
Well, yeah, I suppose. I'm not so certain of that. I think what's going on right now will end up, I'm hoping, but I also think that what's going on right now will enable the Democratic Party to pick up positions.
Well, they are two-thirds of the seats in 2022 are Republican held.
Yeah, yeah.
And about five or six of those are people retiring, so probably the nominees will be more extreme right-wing than the ones who are leaving. In theory, they should gain, but the problem is, except for 1934, 1998, and 2002, in modern history, midterm elections, the party in the White House loses seats, if not control. And they really cannot lose seats in the Senate and the House. They only have about a 6-seat edge. So if they lose seats, they could lose both houses. That's what's absolutely horrifying.
But we've never come from a situation where we got rid of a president who was as corrupt, as ignorant, as lying, as rotten as the one we had prior to Biden.
Yeah, did you hear that now he wanted Jimmy Kimmel to be taken off the air, or maybe have the Justice Department look into him because he makes fun of Trump and these other night show hosts?
I don't think you can do that. I think that lady, the cheerleader that got away with using yes. the F-bomb, she would also stand the same, I mean, he would stand the same ground that she was.
But he actually was trying to do that when he was president. That's the whole issue.
That's crazy.
He looks worse all the time. He's truly an authoritarian nightmare.
Okay, let's move on to another nightmare. the recount
of Arizona. Done yet.
And supposedly that's going to be done this tomorrow.
I thought it was supposed to be done last month.
Well, I heard yesterday that they thought it would be done.
I'm joking. I'm saying, originally they said
it should have been done before it started.
It shouldn't have happened.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
How many recounts did they have? They had three, didn't they, before?
I believe so. Yeah. And the Supreme Court ruled against, and all the federal courts ruled in 61 cases about the election. That isn't enough to convince to stop it?
Holy mackerel. Yeah. And from what I understand, there's really only one person in charge, and it's the guy who gave the name, what is it, Ninja...
Ninja Warriors?
Yeah, whatever he gave the name of his group. He's the only one in charge. Nobody can figure out what they're doing. He won't explain it. And I don't understand, again, I don't understand why the Democrats in Arizona just grind them up into sawdust. I know it'd be difficult, but I think we've got to find a way. We got to find a way to find all the rotten stuff that's going on in Republican closets. We got to find. We just got to be bad, just like our opponents are bad. We need to quit being nice guys.
I don't know if Joe's capable of that, though. Joe Biden is a nice guy. That's always been his.
You're right.
His strength and his weakness, I guess.
And that's why he was elected by the majority. I think the majority of the people like Biden. You know, the majority of the people
in polls,
like
it shows that, yes.
The majority of the people like all the stuff that he has proposed. I mean, all the bills his people have proposed are over 55%, many of them over 60, and some of them over 70 and 80%.
Yes.
We need to quit being nice guys, and I'm sorry, and I do have listeners that absolutely disagree with me, and I'm glad they listen occasionally. They probably turned it off by now, but please, when I'm on the air and you want to talk to me, I think next Wednesday will probably be the first chance, call me up and tell me why the Republican Party is so against doing anything positive.
Yeah, and yesterday I posted a meme of all the things the Republican Party stood for in 1956 when Eisenhower was running for re-election. Mm-hmm. That Republican Party is no longer the Republican Party we have now. It's not the Republican Party of Theodore Roosevelt or of Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln, after all, promoted freedom of the slaves and racial equality and amendments to the Constitution. And now the Republican Party is stepping all over that and acting like old Southern Democrats did.
Yeah,
it's sad.
It is sad when you think about how, jeez. Anyway, having been a Republican half of my life and a Democrat the other half of my life, I was kind of stupid when I was a Republican anyway.
When did you become a Democrat? How old were you?
Right after Nixon.
Oh, so more than half your life you've been a Democrat.
I guess so, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Nixon, you're not that much of a sinner.
Nixon changed me. I still think Nixon could have been an excellent president.
Well, he was in some ways. He did some really good things, but he had tragic flaws, you know.
Yeah. All right.
He's still a lot better than Trump. It definitely elevates Nixon to that Trump was president.
I would have been a better president than Trump.
James Buchanan, I think, would be rated better. Andrew Johnson would be rated better.
I don't know about Johnson.
Oh, actually, he's more like Andrew Johnson.
Yes, he is more like
Buchanan him. Is different, but Trump is more like Andrew Johnson, except the funny thing is Trump may be the wealthiest, maybe. It's not clear that he is, but maybe.
Yeah.
And Johnson was the poorest, easily, in childhood. So they're the opposite extremes on money, but they're very similar in many ways. They really are.
Yeah, and
nastiness, yeah.
It makes my heart hurt that we support people as ignorant as that one. Anyway, the Supreme Court is talking about allowing us to pay athletes, college athletes. What are your thoughts about that?
I actually think it's a good idea. Of course, it has to be some limits on it, obviously. But I think athletes, while they're getting an education, that their likeness and their image and all that, they should be able to make some money and have an advantage, an edge. I don't see a problem with that, because I think many have been exploited.
In theory, and having been in that industry for 18 years...
Yeah, I'm sure it's what you think, yeah.
Yeah, well, and you and I are going to disagree on this, but that's fine. I know that many of my college athletes, first of all, they got their education for free. They got... especially if we're talking what we call the revenue sports, basketball and football. They got their books for free. They got their room. They got their board. They got, most of them got Pell Grants, which was cash that they could use for anything. They were paid, in essence, and they got their education for free. I find it really hard, and I think I hate what the university does to my former student athletes, in that they take full advantage of that, and then They must all be Republicans. But anyway, the thing that bothers me about that is I know where it's going to go. It's going to go to bidding wars. And we're going to end up with kids making $1 million a year because they decided they wanted to play basketball at UNC or they wanted to play football at, I don't know, Tulane or, you know, some school that can afford, or Michigan, or I'll say Michigan because all my OSU friends would kill me if I said OSU. But it's going to start a bidding war. I will guarantee that. And
I haven't thought that deeply about it, you know. But the one thing I feel is that many of these athletes come out after having, in many cases, done well. Most don't make it in the professional sport.
That's right, they don't.
And even though they've had education, they haven't. They've been so busy on sports, they don't really get the education. They go through the motions, and they have basket weaving degrees, as I call it, and then they are unemployable after, in many cases.
Well, now,
is that true?
No, it's not true.
It's not true?
No, there are a lot of them that do that, yes. The ones that really don't want to get an education and think they're going to go to the NBA or the NFL,
yeah.
They all get in line on the gravy boat, and they take the basket weaving courses and stuff like that. Universities should not allow that. I absolutely think that universities should require that all students be taking something in a direction of a job.
But the problem is that these people don't study, don't get good grades, but if they make things rough, then they lose those players. Isn't that true?
Yes, and that's what should happen.
Well, I'm not saying it shouldn't, but I'm saying that that's what is happening, though, that, you know, I don't know, it's a tough issue.
Oh, it's a horrible issue.
Yeah.
And I really think that it would be nice to help, especially a lot of these student-athletes are minorities and don't have money. And I think it's a good thing that they have money. And that's why we have the Pell Grants, to give them some pocket money.
And Republicans always wanted to cut back on the Pell Grants.
Yeah, they, of course they do.
Yeah.
Because it costs the government money. But to pay
them, meanwhile, the billionaires don't have to pay any taxes at all.
Right. But yeah. If we start paying one kid, because, you know, if we start giving them a salary, where do you stop it? Now, I remember...
Really, you know, you opened up my eyes. I hadn't thought that deeply about it. Wow.
I remember when we went to a rule, because when I was in the university, the rule said that you could... what they were trying to do is cut the rule book back, because the rule book had gotten to be, I would guess, 2 inches thick, and, you know, it was really heavy reading. And so they said they were going to redo the rule book and make it a lot easier. What they did is make it bigger. Now, they have bigger...
Bureaucracy is what we call it.
I'm sorry?
Bureaucracy is what it is.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people that have their jobs attached to the NCAA. And when I was... I always wanted to be part of the NCAA. And the more I learned from my friends who were in the NCAA, the more I realized I was glad I was not in the NCAA. And I really think we need to think that through. I don't think the Supreme Court has any idea about what to do in that case. But maybe they'll learn. I don't know.
But it was a 9-0 decision, which stunned me, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well... If you think about who will benefit from having the kids make money, it'll be the big schools that donate, and they have a lot of people that donate money. It'll be the big...
You made some good points. I hadn't researched it or thought that deeply about it. Just in theory, I thought, well, they're athletes and they're talented. Why shouldn't they get paid somewhat? You know, but
do you really think they're going to play the first chair violinist at a major university that has a major music program? Do you think they're going to pay that person a big salary? I don't think so. It's only going to be the revenue producing
money makers. Sports, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Baseball is not going to, or hockey and other sports, is not going to benefit anywhere as much. I guess.
No, I don't think it'll benefit at all. I think. Well, for instance, I know baseball pretty well because of my son, but I think most most of the baseball players don't get full rides anyway. Most of them get divided rides. You know, they'll give them tuition, or they'll give them room and board, or they'll give them a portion of that, but they won't give them a full ride. So I don't think baseball is going to get terribly. Maybe in the southern tier states where they play baseball year round, even though they're not supposed to, maybe down there it'll be more a bidding war. But I will guarantee you there will be bidding wars at in football.
Oh boy, that's not good. No.
No, I don't think so either. All right. Well, we got about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up, of course, about my 80-year cycle article on History News Network.
Yeah. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not claiming I'm unique, but somehow in brainstorming, I thought, wow, I realized every 80 years there's been a crisis for our country that, if it had worked out differently, we wouldn't be where we are today. And it goes back to 1780, yeah. 1780, when we're fighting the American Revolution against the British, and Benedict Arnold tries to commit treason, fails, thank goodness. But if he had succeeded, it's likely the United States never would have become an independent nation, and it would have transformed the history of North America. So that's the story then. Then 80 years later, 1860, Lincoln is elected in a four-way race, although he only wins 39.6% of the vote. The Civil War comes. It's very crisis-ridden time for our whole concept of freedom and democracy, but it does win out by the middle of the decade, so that's the second time, 80 years. And then 1940, not 1932 really, but 1940, when FDR is able at the time to run for a third term, which no longer is possible, but really the alternatives would not have been good choices at that time. Looking back, they were isolationists who didn't really want to get involved in what was going on in Europe, and really in many cases, you know, they were sympathetic to you know, to Germany, Italy, and Japan, as far as hoping they would win on their continent. And of course, he gets elected. We have the attack on Pearl Harbor, and we have World War II. But of course, we overcome fascism and Nazism. That was a real threat. And now, 2020, the threat of Trump and what he represents going into the early part of the 2020s. So it's really true. Those are the major moments of threats to our republic and the evolution of our democracy.
Is there a commonality amongst all these threats? I don't see the commonality there.
The idea that we had a threat that could have transformed the United States completely, you know, that it would not be the nation it is today. We never would have become an independent nation.
Okay.
Or in the 1860s, it would have been broken up into separate nations. Or in the 1940s, the theory that possibly Hitler could have come over here if he had succeeded in World War II and could have, you know, could have had an influence. He already had some in Argentina with Juan Perón. So now I think what's going on now is a real threat to our whole democratic system of government.
So the commonality actually is that our democracy has won in each one of these situations.
Except the present one, we don't know. That's
yeah,
the whole
we don't
thing.
Know that. Yeah,
that's the whole thing. So. So it's like quote, it's an existential crisis. How would this one end? The 80-year cycle of existential national crisis. How would this one end? And there's no certainty what will happen. But really, when it comes down to it, it was a very big fortunate event that in 2018 the Democrats won the House. If they didn't, there would never have been a movement toward impeachment. There never would have been any investigation of Trump at all.
Yeah.
He likely would have won in 2020. In 2020, he almost won anyway because of, you know, it was certainly close in some states. And if he was still there now, I think we would be a little like Hong Kong is, or like Myanmar is, or Hungary or Poland. We'd really be in danger.
What?
And we still could be in danger.
Yeah, we still
it's
could.
It's not over yet. The first three are over, but this one is not.
No, this one is, the thing that bothers me, and I actually have stopped listening to much TV, they keep saying democracy is going to die, or democracy is at the edge of death, and
I think it's in danger. I wouldn't say it's death, but it's in danger. You don't see that?
Well, I hate to think about that.
Wait,
I just don't want to
that
think
doesn't
about
mean
that.
It's not happening. I think, you know, the Republican Party, you know, selling its soul to Donald Trump after all this, it's one thing, as I've said to people, if you backed them originally and maybe even the party did, but after the election and what happened, they should have said goodbye, go to hell. But they're not doing it, and neither are a majority of Republican voters, apparently. And it's just really mental illness. It's a cult-like atmosphere. It's horrifying and scary as hell.
Well, one of the things my wife and I talk about is that, and she's very aggressively liberal.
and I would get along well.
Yes, you would. And one of the things that we talked about not too long ago was I personally believe that democracy, and especially American democracy, grinds very slowly. I don't think we're going to get there tomorrow. We want things done tomorrow, but it's not yes. going to get done tomorrow. The stuff's going to take a while. We're going to go through a lot of bad stuff in the next few maybe next couple of years.
As we did in the 1860s and the 1940s and the 1780s. But the hope is by 2025, just like 1865, the end of the Civil War, things are more stable after that. 1945, the Cold War starts, but the Second World War is over. And the mid-1780s, we go to the Constitutional Convention, and of course, we've won our independence. And now, I think we really have to have a the Democrats keep control and hopefully win the White House with either Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or someone, and certainly keep the Trump element out. And I'm hopeful he'll be indicted and that he will not be able to therefore run. But even so, the people who love him, like the mini Trumps, like Ron DeSantis and Josh Hawley, are terrifying as well.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know. I have more faith in the American people, even though it really drives me crazy to watch some of the ignorance that goes on amongst our people. But
there's a lot of brainwashing going on.
Yeah, there is. But
that's the thing, and those people you cannot get to.
But I don't think I even care whether we get to them. I think the majority of us will grind them into sawdust. that physically. I mean that we will make it very clear that they're not in charge. I don't know. I'm hoping.
Yeah. In the few minutes we have left, I wanted to talk, sure. as you mentioned also, about the New York City mayoral Democratic primary.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is really crazy. I think Eric Adams, a former police officer who's African-American, who's borough president of Brooklyn, is ahead, but it's not guaranteed that he will be the winner. Maya Wiley is second, and Catherine Garcia is third. And I actually like Maya Wiley. She's the one I would have voted for if I was there. But what's also interesting is that all these people are from minority backgrounds. That's interesting. We've only had one African-American mayor, David Dinkins. But and even the fourth place finisher, Andrew Yang, a big flop, as it turns out, is Asian-American.
Yeah.
So this is what upsets many Republicans, that the urban areas are more and more dominated by a growing non-white population, and that's what they fear, and they would like to probably deport all these people, but you can't do that. But it's just the diversity of America is coming about, and it's going to be even more so by 2045. And it's just something, why does it matter what people's skin color is or their religion? It shouldn't matter.
I would think, now apparently they're not going to do anything till next Friday or something like that. I would think a computer could figure that out in a split second.
Well, they have write-in votes, or mail votes, I should say, so that takes time. So it's going to be a few weeks, and so they've knocked people out, but they're going to, but it's probably going to be Eric Adams, the Brooklyn Borough President, who's ahead, because he's ahead, I see now, by 31.7%, Maya Wiley 22.3%, and Catherine Garcia 19.5%. Andrew Yang, who's ready, said he's out, 11.7%. He has no chance. So it's one of those three, and two of them are women, of course, which is also interesting.
Well, Yang and Wiley, everybody will probably remember from the Wiley was very vocal on MSNBC, I believe it was, or was it CNN? And she was on, and then all of a sudden she stopped being on, and I wondered what it was. Well, you're not allowed to do some of that stuff if you're running for office, and I found out she was running for office.
Yes, but I followed a few of these, not so much Eric Adams, I don't know much about him, honestly, but Maya Wiley, I actually have known for a few years and seen her, and I actually think she's the best candidate, and I see Nancy Pelosi endorsed her.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And also Ocasio-Cortez, of course, is very controversial. She's controversial. I don't necessarily agree with everything she says, but she's so smart, and that's what upsets people when we have smart women. Yeah. It really upsets people. You
especially
know,
when
want women to be in their place, you know.
Especially when smart women open their mouth real loud, and she does.
But then we have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, who are not smart, and they open up their mouth, and you want to vomit.
And they prove how dumb they are when they open their mouths. That's one of the things my father always told me. He says the way you can prove how stupid you are is open your mouth too much.
He's right. Absolutely right. Now, I want to ask you, what's this about an Ohio congressman being removed from office? Are you talking about a state legislator, not a House member?
Yeah, a state legislator.
Oh, you said congressman. Who is this? Who is the person you're talking
Larry
about?
Larry Householder, and he has been removed because supposedly there is a $60 million bribery to get fuel.
That's what you would say. I didn't know who you meant by that. Name is Householder?
Yeah, Larry Householder.
Look at him.
He's got lots of crap around his name, I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
We don't have we only got a minute and a half, and we don't have enough time to talk about all the mess.
What a name to go around your whole life. I'm Mr. Householder.
Yeah. Well, he shook a lot of hands. Paid a lot of people a lot of money.
Oh, my God.
Including my opponent when I was running.
He's a former Speaker of the Ohio House.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
So he's not a nobody. Oh, my God.
No, he is not a nobody.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a Republican, of course. Yeah. I see that.
Maybe I'll be able to tell you more about that one next week when we get together.
Well, I'm reading up on him now. I'm looking up.
Okay.
It did take long to get him to show up.
No. Yeah. He'll show up, I'm sure.
Jimmy, thanks so much. I had a great time.
Yeah.
And look forward to next week.
Thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday, all right?
Okay, stay healthy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Dr. Feynman on the air with me. And Dr. Feynman is a very, very bright man. I love listening to him talk about stuff. I really like going and reading his he writes so much. I get so many Facebook things from him. I can't keep up with everything. But you ought to put Dr. Ronald Feynman into your Facebook and join him. And I know you'll be a smarter person for it. Hey, have a great day. This is Glenn Coble. We're out of here.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio. For Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.